China warns of disastrous consequences if House Speaker Nancy Pelosi visits Taiwan. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. House Speaker Pelosi is expected to arrive in Taiwan later today in what would be the highest-ranking official U.S. visit to the self-ruled island in more than a quarter century. Even the possibility of this trip has sent geopolitical tensions soaring between the world's two biggest economies. Though details have not been released due to security concerns, this morning China's foreign ministry spokesperson, Hua Chunying, said Chinese officials have been in contact with the U.S. and they've made clear their position. She continued with a warning that if the U.S. continues down the, quote, wrong path, China will take strong and resolute measures to ensure its sovereignty and security interests. China, in the meantime, has sent warplanes to the median line dividing the Chinese mainland from Taiwan. It's a move that comes after President Xi Jinping warned President Joe Biden not to play with fire, supporting a Taiwanese bid for formal independence. As we know, geopolitical tensions like this can quickly spill over into economic ones. Samson Ellis is Bloomberg's Taipei bureau chief. He explains what all of this could mean for Taiwan's economy.
At a time where, you know, economies across the world are very much struggling. If you look at the United States, the problems it's facing with inflation, technical recession, yes or no. And then on the other side of China, where it's seeing rapidly slowing growth as well. That's a problem, especially for a predominantly export economy like Taiwan's, where China and the United States are its biggest clients. Obviously, there are a lot of people here, and including the government, who would rather see that there isn't this kind of disruption right now, particularly when you're likely to start seeing things like inflation and food prices start to really pinch on the general public.
If we look globally, you know, you mentioned how export-oriented Taiwan is, and we all know from the last 2 years how important those vital semiconductors have been that are produced in Taiwan. I mean, what could this all mean for the global economy?
One thing, Taiwan's rising importance in the chip industry, and when we say Taiwan, obviously we mean Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, you know, Taiwan's largest company, and the predominant semiconductor maker in the world, especially of the really cutting edge computer chips in the world. What it's done for Taiwan is just make Taiwan that much more critical to all major countries in the world. And therefore, you really have seen this real shift over the past 2 to 3 years of first the United States, but then also Japan and Europe paying much more attention to Taiwan and really starting to change the language around Taiwan to place a much bigger emphasis on the importance of security and stability in Taiwan.
And when it comes to actual global shipping, the Taiwan Strait is hugely important. China has been insistent that it controls those waters. What kind of challenge is that in all of this?
The Taiwan Strait really is a crucial waterway in both directions. You know, it brings raw materials from Australia, from the Middle East, up to China and to Shanghai, then onto Korea and Japan as well. And then it takes finished goods back to the rest of the world, largely through the Taiwan Strait. The way the US views it, keeping it open as a free international waterway is of critical importance to economies throughout the world.
And Samson, just because you're there, I mean, what is the mood like today? Are people optimistic about this visit? Are they worried about the implications?
This isn't the biggest story around right now. There are other domestic issues that are dominating the front pages. Yesterday, all the front pages were about Pelosi. But in the week leading up to this, when we were all debating, will she, won't she? Certainly, you know, among the general public, you know, the discussions are of other issues. Quite frankly, if you're going to sum up Taiwan's reaction, it's a collective shrug to this visit. Yes, they welcome high-profile visits like this. Taiwan welcomes any kind of interaction with other countries that kind of infers sovereignty and nationhood to Taiwan. And so they welcome this, but it genuinely is not the biggest news item on the agenda for most people.
Samson Ellis, Taipei bureau chief for Bloomberg. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Well, a quick check of the numbers now. The safe haven Japanese yen is up 4.5% over the past 5 days. It's poised for its biggest gains since the depths of the COVID crisis. Meanwhile, U.S. Treasury yields are falling as prices rise and stock benchmarks around the world are in decline on worries about implications of Speaker Pelosi's travel plans. to Argentina now, a country that was once one of the most prosperous in Latin America. Now, though, nearly a third of the population suffers from food insecurity, according to the UN. That means more and more people are moving out of cities and into slums. The BBC's Augustina Lacharette reports now from Concordia, one of the country's poorest cities, to see what some people are doing to survive.
More than half of the people here live under the poverty line. We're entering the slum El Silencio, the silence. Entire families of six or seven live cramped in one room. El Silencio is right next to the biggest landfill in the city. It's an ocean of garbage, but this is not how the people here see it. They see an opportunity. Like Julio. He comes here every day at dawn and looks for materials that he can resell to a recycling center.
The work is tough. The sun is really strong and makes my head hurt.
It can be dangerous. This is Pedro Sena from Caritas.
On top of the risk of cutting yourself, you could eat rotten food. There's a lot of bacteria. We've had cholera.
But for Julio, it's all worth the risk. He shows us his home, which is made out of wooden sticks, nylon and plastic. It only has one room that he shares with his wife and daughter. This is Rocío. She's 19. She lives in a slum near Julio. Rocío started working at the landfill when she was just 8 years old. She would go in the afternoon after school. But now that she can't access any education, this has become her whole life. Sometimes she has no option but to eat what she finds.
If the food is in good condition and ready to eat, we eat it. Sometimes you can find quite a lot of meat.
She's not the only one.
You can find stuff that you can bring back and cook. Sometimes you find frozen food, nice stuff, noodles, milk.
But what Julio and Rocío are going through doesn't just happen in slums. Inflation is at more than 60% in Argentina. Now, more than one-third of the population doesn't have access to enough nutritious food. In Concordia, Argentina, I'm the BBC's Agustina Lacharette for Marketplace.
And here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.